There. I'm still loud. You still heard me. I'm a school teacher. So 2020 vision. Where will it happen? The frightening thing, what needs to change in order to get there? And what's on God's heart for us as a people? It is a journey. It is an exciting journey. Because God has brought each one of you and each one of us to this place at this time to be part of that. It's not by chance, it's not by circumstance, it's not by just random choice that you are here. It is because God has brought you here even today for a specific reason. And whether it's your first time here or whether you've been here for many, many years, there is a reason that you're here. There's a reason that God has brought us to this place of looking at what does He want for us in the future. And that's because He has a future for us. And that future is not just rosy, it is very, very good. He has a church that He loves. It was prayed out. You know, He gave His Son, His only Son. Why? Because He was a benevolent God? Yes, but because He had a plan and a purpose for a glorious people called His church. And He's working that out. As we were sitting here, standing here, caught up in the worship of God, I had this picture of millions of people. Not just thousands, not just tens of thousands that popular bands and popular groups of people can demand, or a big football match, it can demand that many people coming. Not even millions around the world tuning in to some program, but literally millions and billions of people worshiping this one King. And when you begin to get that feel, I don't know about you, but it made the hair stand up on the back of my neck as I thought about this great God who's on a great purpose, with a great vision, a great passion, and He's pouring it out on His church, and He's saying, do you want to come on a journey with me? Could be our journey. We could sit down and plan. We could sit down and think. We could have sat as elders and discussed with you and talked with the growth group leaders and with the trustees and with different people that we have involvement with. We could have went to our apostolic covering and talked to Mike Betts. We could have had prophetic people and had a nice chat with them and then sat down and said, so what do we think? And wrote it all on paper and put it into nice presentations and nice bannery things and some that will be revealed shortly. And that would have been okay. And this week, I've been away. I've been on a 3-day residential with my class at school. Exciting, interesting, challenging, and exhausting, all wrapped up together. And as I woke up yesterday morning in my own bed for the first time in a few nights, and not having to have one eye and one ear open to see whether children were awake, screaming, running around, trying to get away, or missing their teddy or their mom, possibly in that order. And I sat there yesterday morning, and I was exhausted. Just the emotional energy that you give out when you're looking after a group of children and you have full responsibility, especially when you know some of them, that their medication wears off at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you know it. And I was just exhausted. But there was something stirring in me about what God wants to do with us that couldn't let me sit there and stay exhausted. And so I spent some time thinking. I spent some time praying. And I spent some time just trying to get my head around what God is doing. And in the middle of it, my iPad pinged. And I had a notification on Facebook. And I went to it. And actually, the notification was absolutely boring. But as I looked on Facebook, Toby Skipper had put something up about vision on Facebook, and it was from a man from history. And basically, in a nutshell, he said this: any group of people can come up with a vision, and they can set goals, and it might be okay. But if you're in the kingdom, you listen to what the Spirit is saying, and you make your decisions based on that, regardless if it makes sense or not. And if you're a people of God, you'll be hungry after what God is hungry, and you'll want to be on His journey, regardless of what that means. And I thought, I've got to make a choice. As an elder, as a leader in the church, I need to make a choice. Do I really want to give myself to what God has called us to, or do I want to just listen and then kind of journey along slowly with it and see what happens? And something began to stir in me, and the energy of God began to come. And then this morning in worship, it was just listening to that song about the lion. And it took me to a part in the Chronicles of Narnia and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where Lucy is introduced to who Aslan is. And Mr. Beaver has just kind of explained a bit about Aslan. If you have never read the books or seen the video know about it, it's an allegory. And in it, Lucy is in another land. And in this land, the animals can speak. And they've met the king. They've met Aslan, the king. And all along, they've been hearing little snippets about Aslan. But they're kind of getting a picture of it. And Lucy, I think in her mind, as an Aslan, is kind of like an earthly king. He's a man. He'll have a crown. He's that sort of person. And then the penny begins to drop that he's not a man. He's actually a lion. And she makes this little phrase. It's my paraphrase up. She said, "Ooh, if he's a lion, is he safe?" And Mrs. Beaver says, "Have you not been listening to anything Mr. Beaver has said? Of course he's not safe. But he's kind, and he's good, and he's the king." And I thought, do you know, I'd much rather snuggle up to a lion that isn't safe, but is kind and is good and the king, than to kind of watch at a distance and see. Let's go on a journey. Let's go on a journey together. We've been looking at things. I just want to do a quick recap of to where we're at. Simon started our series, kind of an overview, and then he began to look at what it means to reach. And we came up with a short statement, something we can remember, something we can be getting into our thinking, getting into our prayer lives, getting into our understanding of who we are as a church. And that's why we made the little bookmarks for you, so that you've got that. You can continually be reminded to reach our local community and beyond with the good news. And a little bit more expanded version of that. Have we got this coming up? I get my children at school to point and wiggle their fingers and it works. Okay? And on to the next one, please. To reach every generation in our local community and beyond with the gospel, so that unsaved people become committed disciples of Jesus. This is part of our vision, our 2020 vision. I'm going to contradict Simon here. There should have been an ooh there. Should I try that again? I'm going to contradict Simon here. Okay? Simon, when he first started this, he said, our 2020 vision has nothing to do really with our vision, our eyes. I'm going to contradict him. I think it has a lot to do with our eyes. Because when we think of 2020 vision, my eldest son is an optician. My youngest son works at an optician's. And 2020 vision is what I would love to have. I've got about negative 2020 vision. I see nothing clearly with these on. Some of you look hugely better this way. Most of you don't. Oh, our 2020 vision, yes, it's about the year 2020. But we want to be clear, crystal clear, as to where we're going and some of the steps of getting there. So we want to reach every generation. Yesterday I was watching a little bit of television, and on it was the World Champion Bowls competition. Okay? Any of you watch it? Okay? Can you keep your hands up if you watched it? Consider the age range that have got their hand up. Okay, this is not a comment about you and your age, but they panned the audience that was watching it, and let's just say my hair color was prevalent. But I would have brought the average age down of the crowd that was there watching it. We want to reach every generation. And let's be fair, our church is not at the moment reaching effectively every generation. We are beginning to. We're making steps towards that. We've just released a children's and families worker. Why? Because we need to reach every generation. But if we leave it to Anne to do that, we've missed the point. We've missed the point. Prayer, giving, serving, reaching out to our community in Migon with the gospel so that unsaved people become committed disciples of Jesus. That's got to be our passion. If you're coming along to Elsham Community Church because you like the Sunday morning meetings and the fellowship, full stop, you're missing a huge part of where we're going and what's on God's heart. Can we have the next slide, please? How are we going to do that? Or what are our faith goals? Keep going. To have a church of 200 plus regular adult attenders. Have a look around. About 80 at the moment. Of course, we've got some out there. That's a big goal. Simon said maybe 125 at a squeeze, a push, and a shove. 10% growth. That's our aggregate. That doesn't mean people who move away that we'd have 10 and actually it's only 6. That's 10% growth. We need to see God move. We need to see God move through us. Next one, please. To be seeing frequent salvation requiring multiple baptismal services each year. Yes! I want to see that. I want to see that tank back there busy. I want to see the logistical headache of is the water too hot or too cold? And if you've been involved with baptisms here, you either have soup or ice cream. We can't seem to get it quite right sometimes. I want those logistical problems. I want those mornings where literally we've been running from the kitchen with big tubs of cold water, pouring it in there so that when the people got in, they could actually get in. I've been here on the Sunday mornings when we've been running from the kitchen with hot water and pouring it in there so they didn't have to wear ice skates. But those sort of problems I want to have. I don't want to have the problems that we haven't got anyone to baptize because no one's got saved. That's part of our journey. That's part of our excitement together. Next one, please. To have established at least 20 midweek groups with Aylsham surrounding villages and towns, a key focal point. 20 groups. What are we, about 8 or 9 now? About 8 or 9 groups we have. To have 20 groups, and not just any groups. Groups that are on fire for God. Groups that are gathering with purpose. Groups that are excited about the kingdom of God. Groups that are gathering saying, how can we make this vision work in our area, with our group of people, or with those that are around us? How can we do that? When Adrian Horner, a prophetic fellow, was with us a few weeks ago and began to share one of the things he said in the middle of all the other things he said, your groups, your midweek groups are going to change. Oh, that word change, we don't like it. We like it the way it is because it's comfortable. He also told us we were going to be seeing a change in the type of river we were on, going from a Cambridge slow-moving to whitewater. It will mean change for this to happen. If we keep doing things the same way we've been doing them, we will get the same results. We need to see God move in power, and we need to accept that power and change for this to happen. The next slide, please. Our next one is restore. Thank you. To bring restoration to individuals, families, and communities through the love and power of Jesus. To see the sick healed, the oppressed set free, the poor released, and the broken lives mended. I've got a verse at the end that's going to bring us back to this. Jim's already wanted to come and pray for someone. And I said, hold on to that. Hold on to your seats. I'm not quite sure how we're going to get there today, but we are going to get there. Next one, please. What does this mean? Our faith goals for 2020. To have weekly testimonies of God's healing power. Anyone been healed this week? One? Two? In 10 words or less, Clive, tell us right where you are. In 10 words or less, what were you healed from? Chest infection. Pain in my neck. Pain in your lower back. Yeah, she's a pain. That's my mother-in-law, if you don't know. So I could say pain in the neck with a little bit of edge there. Okay, weekly. Dad, we just had testimonies of God's healing. Brilliant. What about next week? What about the week after that? What about people who are not committed members of the church and who don't know Jesus coming and saying, well, I didn't even know there was a God, and then this happened. That's part of that vision. We've heard of one of those stories. We're living off that testimony, and we were encouraged some months ago, if you've only got one testimony to give, keep giving that testimony until you've got two. And a man prayed for in the marketplace, didn't believe there was a God, goes home and tells his wife, Don't know what happened, but I've been healed. Phone the churches. I don't know what happened, but I've been healed. Well, we told them what has happened. Has he become a Christian yet? Not that we know of. Does that downgrade the miracle? Not at all. It just gives us a heart for more. To be able to offer pathways to change for people in all the following areas of poverty, health, education, finance, addiction, and employment. To have seen at least 50 individuals or families set on those pathways. 50 families affected by the kingdom of God. I was reading, I'm in the process of reading a book from the church in Bedford, and they asked for 30 miracles on the street, or 50 miracles on the street, I can't remember if it was 30 or 50, in a period of about 3 years' time. After about 6 months, they were running into hundreds because they took it seriously. Now they said they've lost track, they can't keep up. I've been there in that church to have some training, went out on the streets, and they came back telling us stories that happened while we were there. This is not theory. It is not pie in the sky. It's when God has spoken and we choose to believe it and apply it, we begin to see families change. Next one, please. For ACC and JFC to know, be known throughout our communities, the place to come for healing, help, and transformation. How about our switchboard busy with people phoning and saying, I can't see my doctor, but actually I'd rather come to you anyways. I can't get an appointment with my psychologist or my shrink, American term. But I've heard if I come to you, I'll get a better answer. How about people coming in and this place being alive with people coming alive? That's part of a 2020 vision. Next slide, please. I'm totally lost on my iPad here because I'm watching up there. And so we come to the third, reach and restore. See, we can have a heart to reach people. In the depths of our being, we can have a heart to reach people. We can have a real passion to see people restored, their lives changed. We can have it in your notes. You might be writing notes now. You might be typing them onto your thing. You might be making some mental notes. You might be thinking, I'll wait till there's something in print until I've got that nice little bookmark. You'll have those. That's good, but it's not great. Great is when we hit the next one, when we're released to do it. That's when we take our bottoms off our seats and we put it into action. That's when we move from theory to practice. That's when we move from the boardroom and the presentation to out in the public. That's when it comes face to face. When there's a release of God's power, His kingdom, and His glory through each one of us that makes the vision a reality. Not much good of it sitting on some bookmarks or in a little booklet or on nice signs, slides like this. Not much good of our preaches being available on the website if the reality is it just stays as theory and as a pipe dream. But a real dream, a real vision is one I say, I'm getting off my seats. I'm going to get my hands dirty. I've got my work boots on. Let's go make it happen. Let's make it happen together. Let's make it happen in our homes. Let's make it happen in our street. Let's make it happen in our workplace. Let's make it happen when we come together as well as we go out. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was praying, and I was praying about me. I have to pray a lot about me. I hope you pray about me as well. Try some good things. And I felt God talking to me about how I use Sunday mornings. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, and I'm not even going to look at the expression on your face. Oh, maybe I will. But I wonder how many like me, kind of treat Sunday morning as a recharge point. I've got my battery. If you've got rechargeable batteries, you know how they're better now than they used to be, but they would... Lose power, then you put them back in the charger, they charge back up, and you could go and use them again for a while. And I'd use Sunday morning as a recharge point. you know, the busyness of the week and all the issues of the week and all the challenges and all the things that kind of drained me during the week, come back Sunday morning, get charged up to go back out. And I felt God challenge me. And he says, why aren't you using your week to charge up for Sunday morning? Why aren't you using all the opportunities you have to see my kingdom come and my will being done in your workplace and on the street and in your home and with your neighbors and those that are around you? So when you come on a Sunday morning, you're so full of energy that it just explodes amongst the people. Why aren't you coming to Sunday morning instead of coming dragging yourself in and tired and weary? You're coming excited about all that God has done. Can hardly wait to share testimonies of healing every week. Opportunity to say, sharing with someone. And someone became a Christian this week. I was able to pray with someone. I was able to lead them to God. I was able to see a need met. I was able to get alongside someone. And that invigorates me and excites me so much that I want to come and I want to share that with you. And as I'm sharing with you, you're sitting there going, yeah, and you know what happened with me? And there's a buzz and there's an excitement that begins to go almost that point where there's a nuclear reaction that sets off on a Sunday. And I thought, you know, I've been a Christian a long time. It's about time I changed my perspective of Sunday morning, because this 2020 vision won't work if when we come together, we just come to recharge to go and do it. But we get it out of the box. We make it happen out there. There's something about perpetual charging when we're plugged into God that doesn't mean we need to get our energy now, but we get our energy by doing. And by being filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll come on to that. Ezekiel 47, and we can go on to the next slide, is a passage, the scripture that we've been given to go through. A man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out of under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water that was ankle deep. Okay, ankle deep water can be nice if it's a hot day. You ever been down and you're hot and you just, you know, you roll up your trouser legs, you pull off your socks, you know, and you can go and you can do the... And it just kind of is refreshing. You know, it's that kind of seaside paddle that's there. But that wasn't enough. It was good, but it wasn't enough. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was knee-deep. I want you to notice something here. A cubit is about that long. A little bit shorter on some of you than others. That's why when you went to get a cubit of cloth or something in those days, you looked for the long-armed man. Okay? A cubit. So, what? To put it in old English, about 1,800 feet, third of a mile. Two-thirds of a kilometer. This isn't just a few steps. Get the picture of how that this is a journey. It's not just, you know, it shelves off quickly. This is a journey that he's on. He's taking him. It's taking him time. It's getting into his thinking. He's got time to think about it. He's got time to reflect, to look around, to see what's happening. The shore is a long way away now. He measured off 1,000 cubits, led me through the water that was knee-deep. Okay, that's quite nice. It's safe there. Knee-deep, I can cope with that. I'm in up to here. I've probably got to have my shorts on now. If I've got my long trousers on, they're wet. But it's still pretty safe there. Current's not too strong. Waves aren't too high. I can walk around. I can still be pretty safe. Sounds good. But he doesn't stop there. He measured off 1,000. And he led me through the water that was up to the waist. This is where it starts to get dangerous. And if you've been in any type of water that's got flow or current or tide, you know when it's around your waist, it's beginning to pull. It's beginning to drag. It is beginning to get worrisome, especially if you're not an accomplished swimmer. Maybe if you are an accomplished swimmer, you're even more fearful because you know what can happen if you're swept off your feet when the current begins to flow. He measured off 1,000 meters, it was up to my waist. He measured off 1,000. But by now, it was a river that I could not cross. He's now at least 4,000 cubits from land. 6,000 feet, over a mile out. The only place that you might still feel a bit safe is Southend, which has the longest pier and its shelves. I used to live near Southend. I've seen it where the tide has been out that far, and it's just mud, and it never gets very deep there. This isn't what he's talking about. What he's talking about here, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim, it was now a river that could not be crossed. And he asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" What was he seeing? Could he see back that mile, over a mile? Could he see out? What was he experiencing at that point in time? If he had to swim in this, the only thing sticking out of the water was his head. He didn't have the perspective of where I am now and could see a mile. It's there. Everywhere he turned was water. That's all he could see. He was now either at the mercy of the one who was with him, or he was in danger. Next slide. Then he led me back to the river, back to the bank of the river. It would have taken some time. He would have went back through those stages. He would have went from deep to shallow to ankle to sand. Why? Because I think he was saying, do you see? Do you experience? What do you really want? Are you happy? Are you going to stay where you are? Where are you going to set your feet down? You've experienced it all. And I think we've all experienced it all in many different ways. Sometimes we've experienced that deep water of God where it's just exciting and thrilling and we're out of our depth in the flow, and sometimes we've experienced the ankle deep. But the choice is, what are you going to do? When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. Because see, if you're in the center of the river, you can't always see what's happening on the banks. But it needs the center of the river for the things that are happening on the banks to happen. He said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt fresh water. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Gedem. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh, for they are left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. The imagery, the picture of this river, full of power, full of life, is one of the most amazing pictures we could have of what God wants to do with us. His river flowing at that sort of depth and power, but changing everything it touches. He hasn't called us to be a stream. Yes, we talk about streams of living water sometimes. He's talking about us as a people being a river that cuts channels, that changes courses, that causes bedrock to be eroded, that changes the landscape, but it also brings life and changes the very character and very nature of what is around it. He's called us as a church. Part of our vision that he's called us to is to change the landscape that's around us. That will not happen by one or two of us catching a hold of it and saying, "Ooh, let's give it a go," but something deep in our heart. Last week, I felt God talking about that raising of the temperature, that gradual raising until we're burning hot. I pray, my prayer for you, that prayer for me, is it will be growing hot in this. So where are we today? Next slide, please. And again. So, to release. Reach, restore, and to release. To release people into all that God has intended for them as part of a local, multi-generational church community. That's you, and that's me, making it happen. You say, but hang on, isn't this God's kingdom? Of course it is. Isn't it his vision, his purpose, his church? Of course it is. But in his wisdom, in his desire, in his purpose, he's bringing us along and using us as the tools in which he does it through. And for us to be sitting with a great, we want to see people saved and we want to see people restored, but not actually getting our hands dirty and getting involved will mean that the 2020 vision in 2020 will still be just that. A vision. But I want it to be a reality. I hope your heart is that it will be a reality. That we won't be sitting there looking back with regret, lots of REs here, which I hadn't intended, but we will respond, we'll be excited, we'll be getting our teeth into. We will even choose today to make decisions and change things in the way we focus, the way we purpose, the way we spend our time, the way we use our finances, the way we interact with others, the way that we just grab a hold of all that God has grabbed a hold of us for in order to say, I want this place full of people who are worshiping God. I don't want to see an empty chair. You ever been to those meetings where it's just so full and people are crammed and lining up around the outside? Whether it's a church meeting or whether it's just a public meeting, they're there because there's something that's drawn them, something that's excited them, something that's worried them, something that's got their attention. Oh. Just, if you want to close your eyes for a moment and imagine this place heaving. If you're sitting with empty chairs, I'm looking at Keith and Jill here, a row of empty chairs. How about every one of those full, the aisles having to be tightened up, us having problems with fire, health, and safety, this hall not big enough for one meeting? Why? Just because we want numbers? No, because I want to see people saved. And I want to see you and me released into seeing this happen. I was then taken to another verse. Next one, please. And again. The Great Commission, if we can put it up, please. Go, therefore, and do what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. If we go to the next slide, please. This is doing life together. This is church. Being made into and making disciples. Do you realize that we're still being made into disciples? We're in that process. We will always be in that process. This side of heaven, we will always be being made into disciples. We will be being changed more and more into his image. That's what being made a disciple is about. But it's not just being made. It's not just me sitting, taking in, but making disciples. Making disciples. I've got 3 grown children. It's taken a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get them to where they are. There'll probably be more blood, sweat, and tears, even though they're all fairly independent and grown up. I suspect mother-in-law and father-in-law still have some blood, sweat, and tears about their daughter. She married me. That would account for loss of hair and gray hairs in them. I'm quite sure it worked out why this one's here yet. But being making and making disciples. Oh, that's all right for them. No, actually, it isn't just all right for them. It's all right for all of us. Have you got a heart and a desire that you are a disciple maker? You say, oh, but I'm just so new in the faith. How can? Think about the disciples of Jesus. They weren't just new in the faith. The faith was new. They didn't have all that we've got. And yet, they had thousands they had to disciple. The first day of Pentecost, they'd only been Christians themselves, the disciples, for a few days. You know, we think, oh, well, they had 3 years with Jesus and everything. Well, actually, they weren't Christians until he died and rose again and their sins were completely forgiven. That's when they became Christ's ones. They only had a few days. And then there were thousands of them to disciple. They were busy boys. We need to be busy and excited about that. Next one, please. In that verse, it says, being baptized and baptizing new believers, making disciples, baptizing them. We've already said that. We want to see multiple baptisms. We want to see people coming and saying, I didn't know Jesus. Now I do. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead, but now I'm alive in Christ. We take that so for granted. And please don't take this the wrong way, but because I've just said three of the things that are probably the most profound statements that could ever be made, and most of us sat there and went, but think about it again. Restore the joy of your salvation. Once you were lost, now you are found. Once you were blind, but now you can see. Once you were dead in your sins, but now you are alive in Christ. And I'd love these chairs to be filled with people who don't know that right now, but by 2020 they do. And not only do they know it, but they're equipped amongst the people who are making disciples, and they're then making disciples. Whole family saved. How about this front row? Mom, dad, and four kids. Or mom, dad, grandma, and granddad, and two kids. How about mom, dad, the sister and brother of mom and dad, and some of their kids? Two or three households saved. 5 years? That doesn't seem a big ask. It doesn't seem a big ask, but yet for us it is. But being baptized and baptizing new believers. The next one. Introducing people to the triune God. It says baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't want you or me just to have a picture of I've got a God out there who shows me some favor. I've got a Jesus who loves me, and I've got a Spirit that touches me every once in a while. I want us to be a people who are encountering all of God. And when people come and join with us, they are encountering all of God. And the last one, there we go, being taught and teaching. It says, and teach them everything. I need to be taught. You need to be taught. We need to be equipped. And we need to be equipping. For going on this journey, there will be changes. In order to cope with those changes and see those changes embedded into who we are and to see the fulfillment of all that God has for us, we're going to need to be taught new things. We're going to need to be taught how to do things in a different way. We're going to have to unlearn some things in order to learn things. I'm a primary school teacher. I teach my children some things that aren't actually true because their experience isn't big enough to take it all in. Sometimes I'll say thing in math, you can't take that number away from that number. Actually, you can. But because they have no concept of what a negative number is when they're young, you tell them certain things. And then you have to come back and unteach them things to teach them something new. Well, guess what? It's similar with us. We get an understanding of what we think God is like, and then all of a sudden he opens up our eyes to something new, and we think, actually, that wasn't quite right. It wasn't wrong, but it wasn't quite right. There's more. There's more. And wherever you are on your journey, mature or immature, Christian for years and thinking you know it all, you don't. Or a Christian for a few days or a few months and you think, I don't know anything, welcome to the crowd. Because the Bible even tells us his ways are so much higher than even our best chance. And our best thoughts. And I want to push more into knowing more of what he has and who he's like. So that when people encounter Jesus and God and the Spirit through me, they encounter more of him, not less. Or just that little bit that I've known for the last 20 years. Because if that's all that there is of God, I'm going to be very honest with you. If God is only what I know of him and what I've experienced of him, he isn't God. There's a whole lot more to him I need to explore. Simon's looking worried and at his watch. Welcome to life. Let me read to you some very wise words. Next slide, please. Simon, please don't shoot me. God's blueprint for life is built around people doing life together with him at the center. This is called church. Simon wrote these words. At ACC, we believe that seeking to love, serve, and care for each other with God's help, we can find a unique place in an amazing family where we are valued, where we can grow in character, and where our God-given gifts can be expressed in the most fulfilling way. When the church is released into all its God-given potential, we believe the ends of the earth will be reached with the gospel and people's lives will be restored. In a nutshell, much more succinct than I am, that's where we're going. That's what our 2020 vision really is about. It's not about bigger buildings. It's not about bigger meetings. It's not about louder or livelier. It's not about more of this or that. It's about His kingdom, His glory, His name, His people, His love, His grace, His church. And that's you, and that is me. We have the next slide, please. So what are we aiming for by the end of 2020? To have everyone. Right. If you're part of this church already, hello, young people. You've come in at a great time. I'm going to let them come in, and then I'm going to get their attention really quick. See, this is our time cue that I'm over time. Okay. If you just joined us, welcome. Don't switch off, please. I know it's Marshall again. Okay? So, have I got your attention? Wave at me if I've got your attention. If you just joined us. Thank you. Brilliant. We are aiming by the end of 2020. Some of these young people won't be young people by 2020, and maybe some of you will be enjoying glory by then. I'm not making any prophetic words there. Okay? To have everyone, that's young people and old and everyone in between in the church, connected and flourishing in a growth group. Oh, I don't go to a growth group. I don't like growth groups. It's not what I thought they'd be. If they're not what you thought they were going to be, they're not going to be what they've been. Prophetically, God has spoken to us about seeing change. If God speaks to us, then we have to put that into our vision. Otherwise, it's our vision, not His. They will need to change in order that when you come to your Wednesday night, as tired and as weary as you are from the day, you'll be thinking, but I've got something I want to share. I've got something I want to take. Today at work, this happened, and I just got to tell the rest of them. We're on this journey together. I want to hear what others have happened. I want, who's got healed? Who's got saved? Who's there tonight that's never been before? Who's there for the first time as a Christian for the first time in their life they've come across to? Because someone in the group led them to Christ this week. I've got a pain in my back. Oh, I don't feel like going out. No, I'm going there because just like, in fact, I could go to the doctor tomorrow and get some medication, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to my growth group. They're going to pray for me, and I'm going to believe I'm going to be healed, and I'm going to walk away from there better and have a story of my own. I don't know about you, but I'd want to be there. I'm going to go, and we're going to worship. We're going to hear from God. There's going to be prophetic words. There's going to be all these sorts. Why did I wait till Sunday morning when I can't get a word in edgewise? When I can get with 10 or 15 people, we can see the kingdom of God rock this place. And serving in the life ministry of the church from our neighborhoods to the nations. To see everyone in the church baptized in and living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. This is key essential. I am of an age where I can remember the battles there were in the churches over whether there was a baptism in the Holy Spirit or not. We then went to a point where there was battles. Churches were splitting. It was not a good time in some respects. It was a glorious time in others as God was pouring out His Spirit. There was all sorts of mistakes and issues and things that happened. And young people, this is an important thing for you. Have I got your attention, young people? Wave at me if you're... Don't look at your phones for a moment. Okay? Thank you, Tara. She's helping the young people wave at me. We battled for a truth of Scripture that was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to see the church and the kingdom of God alive and active. And all these things we've been talking about happening on a day-by-day basis in our lives. Because the Scripture said in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Spirit of God has come on you, and you will then be my witnesses. And then there's all these things about the gifts of the Spirit. Why do we have tongues and interpretation? Because it's a gift of the Spirit and it should encourage us. Well, how can we believe for healing if we're not full of the Spirit of God? Theology will not heal someone. The Spirit of God through us will. And whether you've been baptized in the Spirit 25 or 30 years ago or you haven't been yet, it's essential that we're constantly being filled with the Spirit of God and expecting the outbreak of his purpose in his kingdom through the church. That is what release is about. Releasing the Spirit of God through you and through me and through the church will change our community and will send a ripple through this land that will cause people in other nations to be affected with the goodness of God. Good things here won't do it. Hearing won't do it. Being slightly stirred this morning won't do it. But being filled over and over again. And if you've never been baptized in the Spirit, there will be an opportunity for you shortly. And we're going to pray for people as well. To see everyone in church baptized. And to provide opportunities for discipleship, training, and mentoring for everyone in the church. You have an opportunity to be discipled. You have an opportunity to be trained. You have an opportunity to be mentored. Why? So you can know more and have more notes? No, so that you're released to do the business. Quickly. Next one. What are we doing? What are we looking to do to get there? Communicate the church vision clearly and regularly so that everyone can understand who we are, where we're going, what it means to be part of Relational Mission Family. Relational Mission is a group of churches that we work with together in New Frontiers. Maybe you're visiting with us this morning. Maybe this is the first time you've been here. Please, will you come up and say to me, I think I know what you're about, or you weren't clear this morning. I need to know. You will be my litmus paper this morning. The rest of you know me and have a good idea where we're at. Or should have. If you don't, shame. No, I'm not saying shame on you. Come and talk to me. Come and say, that's exciting, or I haven't got a clue what you're on about. It will really help me, because if we're going to be clear, we need to be clear. If we're going to be on this, you need to be clear. You need to get it into your daily diet. It needs to become your water, your river. Your source, your excitement. Committed together to live out our church culture so we build a strong sense of belonging and growing as a church family into which newcomers feel welcome and included. If you're visiting this morning and you don't feel welcomed and included by the end of this meeting, if no one's spoken to you, if no one's greeted you, if no one said to you, great to have you here with us, can we serve you? Come and find me. And I'll punch myself. Okay? You can even lie and I'll punch myself. Go on to the next one. Help everyone identify their God-given passions and gifts so that they can be equipped and released into appropriate ministry. I said right at the beginning, every one of us is here because of his design, not just by chance. What is your gift? What is your passion? If you don't feel it's being worked out now, we'll find a way. If you're feeling frustrated by it, or I can't get my head around this, I'm not sure about this, we will find a way. We have closed down some things. We're looking for new things to open. We've said that we want to continually hear what God is saying. And not we heard, but we're hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church is what we're about. Identify and train leaders who will serve in the church, the community, and the workplace. We're always looking for more who are ready to take on that next step of leadership. Leading into new ministries, leading in areas, leading in things that God will put on our plate, leading in things that we have now that we need some fresh leadership in. Don't rule yourself out. Say, I'm not a leader. Who says, you or God? If it's you, think again. If it's God, change. And then say, okay, now you can lead. Simple as that. Next one. Looking for God-given opportunities to partner with other churches locally in our Relational Mission Family and in other nations. Working together. New Frontiers had this prophetic word, you can do more together than you can apart, and it's stuck with us. And we're still running with that. Working with other local churches, with Relational Mission, other nations. Vlada in Serbia has got an international speaker coming to Niš. If you haven't caught his most recent video, they're approaching the town mayor to see if he will allow them to use a 7,000-seater arena. This is a church of about 35 people looking for a 7,000-seater arena to accommodate the crowds that they're in faith for. Vlada sat here, was part of our church. Sonia was here as part of our church. We own them as part of us as a family. And the more we can give, the more opportunities we have to serve, the more we can pray this week, the more we're affecting the ends of the earth. Last couple slides. Last week, when Pete was preaching about restore, I couldn't help but go to this verse. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I think all through this vision, that is running. There's a river that's running through. There's a river from heaven. The very last verses in that Ezekiel 4 said, for the poor and the oppressed. It's running through. How did the disciples know that this was being lived out? Can we have the next one, please? In Matthew 11, 5, John sends his disciples to Jesus and says, how do we know if this is real? This was his answer. Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. There's our commission. That's what I want to say. Are you ready to go on a journey? Are you hungry for what God wants? That's what He wants through us. That we could say the top bit. And if somebody come to check us out, that's what they would find. Not a difference between what's said and what is, but a perfect harmony. That's what I'm about, Jesus said. This is what I do. That's what about, said ACC. This is what we do. Anne sent me a prophetic word, which I haven't got time to go into, but that top verse was the last part of the prophetic word that she sent to me. I read it last night at about 11 o'clock after I'd written my sermon. I sent her a text and said, you don't know how spot on you are. Let's stand together. I'm going to encourage you to do something of faith. Fear will say, I'm not sure. Faith will say, yes, there's fear, but in God, I'm going to take these steps. Then I'm going to look for His favor. I'm just going to ask the musicians to play. If you need to go and get your children in a few minutes, please do that. They'll know Marshall was speaking. They'll be frustrated already. Bless them. But I just believe, whether you're visiting with us or whether you're core, hardcore here with us, whether you're thinking about being with us, whether you're thinking of joining, leaving, staying, what does this mean for me? We're all in this. If you're just visiting and you're going back to another church, take some of this back with you. But I want to pray this prayer over us, or this statement over us. I want you to make it yours. I want you to say, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. It's on me. It's on me. And then take some time to pray it through. There's an old song. There's a river of life flowing out from me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors. It sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out from me. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, that I might see. I've forgotten the last little bit of it. But that's the heart of it. Can we just begin to play? That wasn't me. Holy Spirit, will you come to us now? Will you begin to move? These words that were part of Isaiah's prophetic statement about what was to come. These very words that Jesus, in the temple, before all of the religious leaders, the first real public statement He makes, it says He took the scroll, He opened it up, and He began to read. And this is what He read. And I believe it was a statement of His heart over us, His heart for His church. Not just, is this about me, but this is about the people that I'm calling. This is about the people that I'm setting apart. This is why I've come. This is why I'm sending my Spirit. This is what the church is going to be like. And this is what individuals, young and old, are going to be like, regardless of age or stage. And they're going to be able to echo these words. They're going to be able to say, with a conviction, with an expectation, with a heart, the Spirit of the Lord, or the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, is upon me. Can you say that in your heart? Because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Release me in that, oh God. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. God, release me in that. To recover the sight of the blind. Oh God, that the blind spiritually and physically could see, because I'm willing to be released in that. To set the oppressed free. Release me to be a releaser, a freedom person. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Not fear, but faith and favor that take us into the 2020 vision. May your vision be clear. May you be able to see crystal clear. Just like in Ezekiel, took him out into the deep water and said, "What do you see?" "I see the river. I see the life it brings. I see the vision. I see my place in this. I see what needs to change. I see what needs to happen. I see what faith I need to make this a reality. Because I want, just like in Matthew 11, if someone comes and says to me, 'How do I know this is true?' Well, have a look. Go and report. Go and tell your non-Christian friends. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is proclaimed to the poor. Not just on a Sunday, but throughout the week. Holy Spirit, will you stir us now? Earlier we said we're falling on our knees in surrender. We surrender to you, to your purposes, to what it means for us. Reached, restore, released. Do it, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jim earlier in the meeting felt stirred that we should pray for one of our members who's in hospital. So we're going to do that. If you have children, will you please go and get them?